It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, all over this great state of Michigan and maybe anywhere else you're listening around the world at jethro.fm. You can tune in each and every Saturday and listen to Bob and I have a little fun. We are going to have a little fun today, but Bob, this is we got one more show before the Christmas holiday. That'll be on Christmas Eve, I believe. So, but if you ain't got your shopping done, you're in trouble. I guess today's like the last mail day that they'll guarantee that it gets there. And after that,
good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, thanks, Jop. And hoo-ah, hoorah, good eye and everything to all our mates around the world, whoever's listening in podcast. I know we've got some of you down under, and a special love to our military crew out there. But we do appreciate you taking a little time, whether it's podcast or live on Jethro, or streaming on BRN, live on BRN, WGIM, or any other station you might happen to catch us on.
Speaking of BRN, later today, my Ferris Bulldogs going for the second national championship in a row.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're down in Texas. There's an intermediate school district. This is how big football is in Texas. There's an intermediate school district down there that's kind of runs a bunch of districts. They built a $22 million stadium, seats 12,000 wow. people, and that's where Ferris and the Colorado Mines are playing. So good luck to my Bulldogs today. 1 o'clock kickoff. It's on ESPNU if you want to watch it. I know I'll be sitting in front of one of those somewhere and taking the game in because this is unprecedented stuff. This is three of the last 4 years they've been in the championship, and this could be the back-to-back one. So go Dogs.
That sounds like a pretty cool stadium. It's about as big as baseball in Cuba.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so still on the fence for protein for Christmas. My wife hasn't made up her mind. We don't know if we're going to do a fresh ham, if she's going to do her traditional prime rib.
Is that Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Yeah, Christmas
Eve?
Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas Eve, it's the pick table on the Big Island. And,
right.
And that'll be a bunch of people basically
well, I'm going to tell you
pagan out.
I'm going to tell you what I'm bringing so that you don't.
Oh, he's threatening to come.
Listen yeah, up. Right. No, we enjoy it. Your family continues to grow, and it's just awesome to come on Christmas Eve. It's good this is radio and not TV because Bob's family dresses in all pajamas on Christmas Eve. It's the coolest thing.
Every day
you get out there and the whole family we watch them take a picture of everybody standing around the pajamas down to the babies. So it's kind of cool to do that. But I'm bringing a smoked salmon.
Well, I thought
dip.
You were going to say nighty.
No, that's Lisa. She likes to fit in everywhere. But no, I'm bringing a smoked salmon. I made a test run of it last night for a party.
Is that going to be a dip?
Yeah, and I'm going to do it in a wreath. Make it like a wreath, so I got the crackers in the center.
Nice.
And you buy fresh dill and you wrap it around the outside, and it makes it look like garland, right? And
holly.
Yeah, right. Well, the hollies are going to be pimentos. And little cilantro leaves.
Nice.
I'm going to make a little. You'll see it.
What it's an artist!
Well, it's just kind of fun to look at, and it tastes really good. So I made it last night.
I think Conrad's getting jelly over there.
Right. Well, I might have some for him. You know, when the time comes, because I make a big batch of it. But spare you the recipe. But it's got a lot of stuff in it, and it turned out really well.
Well, I can tell you that my boys, in particular. And myself will be all over it. And Emily. I'm not sure about Maggie and Livy like salmon. Maureen's not a big fan. But my two son-in-laws in particular, I'm stopping at Sobey to get them pickled herring. That's how big fish freaks these
with
guys
with a pickled
are.
Herring on a saltine cracker?
Yep.
It doesn't get any better than that at the holidays, man. I love that stuff. You know, you don't want to roll over and kiss mama after you've eaten a few pieces of that.
No, she'll think it's the dog.
Right. <yeah.
laughs> Livy's dog. She always smells like she's been eating fish.
Yeah.
You know, when I growing up with my Uper parents, my dad loved pickled herring and creamed herring, and
So, I'm the creamed guy. I have to say that. I guess because there is a difference, right?
Yeah. So to me, because he also drank buttermilk, about anything my dad really liked was really gross.
Yeah.
So I didn't try it until last year. I can honestly say I was 64 before I ever tasted pickled herring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, now...
I mean, that I recall. I'm sure I have was bribed into it at one point in time, but
I got
it's surprisingly
my
good.
I got my request in then. When you buy the pickled, buy a little jar of the creamed.
Oh, I'm going to get both. Oh,
okay. All right.
Because and some of the Kowalski pickled bologna.
Oh, man.
That's deer camp food.
I may not leave if you have pickled
herring.
Well,
then I'm not bringing
bologna.
It. Right. Forget it. I'm not bringing it.
Bob, I've slept on this couch before. You got room for me tonight? Yeah.
That's you know, I did some work in Greenville this last week, and that's how I got to meet our next guest. But after I left a meat shack on 57 in Greenville, I went across the street to Hops and Hogs.
Yeah.
That's the old... M57 brewery.
Right.
And let me tell you, those people know how to throw down some Q.
Really?
Yeah, I met the pit master. It's a female, and she's probably only about 35, 40 years old. Got to be careful about that. She could be 20. But
right.
She's not, you know, like all that seasoned, but they got a nice southern pride. She said they got to get another one because they can't make enough food. This place is hopping.
Good.
So if you're in the Greenville area and you want some good Q, take it from me. Go check these boys out. They're right on M57 and right across from the meat shack on 57.
Right.
So it's all about 57 today.
Right. The there's a big Meijer in Greenville on M57, and they're just a little east of it. Both those businesses are toward town.
Yep.
And go ahead and drive right by Meijer and go to the meat shack if you're buying meat, right? So, but anyway, we'll get into that in the next segment. But so you're still up on proteins. I am doing we talked about the uncured fresh ham. I'm
right.
doing one of those.
That's why I'm leaning.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Tim.
Yeah, and they're good, but it's just like smoking a pork butt.
Oh, I've done.
Yeah, right, right.
Before.
So don't be afraid of those if you're listening out there. If you wanted the ham tastes a little different than the pork butt because usually it's been brined. Even when you buy them fresh.
Oh, the texture's different, everything.
Right.
There's no nitrates.
Right, nothing. It's just a fresh ham. We get it from the butcher. And
salt and sugar.
Right, yep.
It's that simple. I mean, you don't have to get crazy with a ham.
Right, and you don't
need... You can do your cloves and stuff on the outside if you want to. I don't necessarily need cloves on a ham anyway. But
yep, and I'm debating, but I'm thinking I'm still going to bring that thing up maybe like 175, 180 on internal temperature because I want to slice it. I don't want to pull it, right? Is that the number you think?
Yeah, or? 165 for a ham's good.
Okay.
170 max, but that's up to you. The closer you get to that equinox, though, you're not going to have pretty slices.
Right, yeah, and that being don't bring it too high. You know, I want it to get a little color on the outside, so I am going to season it a little bit just to get some color on it, something with some paprika in it, so I get a little bit of a nice color on it. And I was thinking about cutting it. What do you think about that?
Scoring it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. And I would also then make up some brown sugar, and you could put your paprika in with the brown sugar and just pack that on the outside for the last hour.
Right. You going to turn the heat up, or are you just going to leave it right
at
that? Because I'm thinking about doing it like at 275.
That's plenty.
Right.
Plenty.
Yep. And it'll caramelize that that sugar and
so it's going to take
seasonings.
You about probably 4 hours to get to 165.
Yeah.
So maybe halfway through your smoke, you do your pack.
Right. And so if you're trying to guess at that, don't use your digital thermometer. I've got a probe that I use and a little receiver.
Oh, come on, Job.
On your phone.
It's pork. You can guess.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I guess it's dried out. I'm sorry, people.
I guess I'm sick.
Yeah, right. Didn't get it cooked enough. So, but that's the number one gift for the griller on your list is a digital thermometer. And go to thegrillingguys.com and
Dude.
You can get thermopens are on sale right now for less than $70. You'll
do it.
You'll never find them
do
cheaper
it.
Than that. And it's a I tell you what, I've got them that are 15 years old that are still working as good as they did the day
we
bought them.
Well, let's wrap this thing up because we got a mountain of meat sitting here in front of
we
us.
Do.
We got
We got Caleb from the meat shack on M57. You're not going to want to miss this. The guy's got some just killer snackies here, too. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And it's the holiday season, and happy holidays to Bob and I, because we've got a guy in the studio that just brought a bunch of treats, and I got some in my mouth here, so you can probably tell, but I've got prime rib jerky.
I think I found a new guy to invite to deer camp.
Right. Yeah. You know what? He looked like he could haul one out of the woods for us.
Yeah. He hauls around slabs all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... right here, live in the studio, I've got Caleb Robbins. So good to meet you the other day. Jop and I were in the meat shack 10 years ago when that brewery opened up.
Right.
And the fellow that was there was real nice, gave us a bunch of coupons. Randy said he thinks he still has all the coupons.
Yeah, you going to honor those for me?
He's Dutch.
Yeah, you know we can do that for you.
He's a coupon guy.
We can help you out.
He likes his coupons.
No, but anyway, Caleb, you guys are you recently purchased the meat market, right?
Yeah. 2020, we bought it August 1st. My wife and I were 50-50 partners. She does all the work, and I take all the credit.
Well, that's okay if that if that arrangement works for you, because you also mentioned that you've got a side gig, which is you help a lot of other people as an associate pastor at a church, right?
Yeah. Been doing that for 10 years or so. So yeah.
Where's that?
Sheridan Assembly there in Sheridan, Michigan.
Yep. So you got a...
Sounds like an auto plant, Sheridan Assembly.
No.
Sheridan Assembly of God.
Yeah. But I'm telling you that you've got... There might be some divine intervention on this jerky. I mean, it's that good.
Randy always needs a segue. You see, he has to tie two different stories together.
Yeah.
That's his attempt to
right.
do that.
You got to master the segue.
How'd I do?
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah. Okay. So Caleb, we've got a variety of stuff here in front of you, but tell us a little bit about how does a guy that's a pastor of a church decide to get in the meat business?
Well, you don't pastor a church to make money, okay?
All right.
So I'm the associate.
Some guys have.
Well, that's true.
Oh.
I'm the associate at our church, and to make ends meet, I actually started working for the Jorgensons and had a great time working for them. And one thing led to another, and now
the Jorgensons were the previous owners, or
no, the Ravens, Jeff and Susie Raven, previously owned it.
Okay,
but I went to work for them for a couple of years, and then
all right.
we bought the business from them.
The Jorgensons had markets.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, like supermarkets. Yeah.
Jorgensons.
Okay,
yep.
So you got your start in that. Were you in the meat side of the business when you?
That's right. Yep. So I started cutting. Working for the Jorgensons, and then when Jeff and Susie were looking for help, I went over there and ended up buying the business from them. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Good story.
So tell me about
supposed to be.
You got a big meat case in there. What kind of proteins are you carrying? Are you going up and down the farm, or are you specializing in something?
So, I mean, we try to do a little bit of everything. You know, we have limited space. It's not a very big building.
That's right. You remember the size of the building.
Yep.
It's not giant. It's kind of like the one on 57 and old 131 on the corner there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about that size. But he's got it laid out, and I said, I'm telling you, I saw the biggest chicken breasts I've ever seen in my life.
Are they Amish?
Yeah. Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
So now we're going to go down a Amish trail here. Why can an Amish person grow a bigger chicken than anybody else? I mean, this is not a riddle, but it seems like I'm spitting meat at the microphone, man. Bob, maybe you should.
That's how you know it's good,
right? But my question is this: is you can go get Amish chickens? Are they must be a different breed of chicken to be bigger? I don't know, but anytime you ever hear anybody talk about an Amish chicken, they're giant.
Maybe they're taking their time and giving them good, wholesome, healthy food, and that's the way God made it.
Yep. You know what? That's probably right.
Instead of a factory chicken forced to, you know, live in a barn with 2,000 other chickens.
Or 2 million, yeah.
Fed on a machine. So this jerky, I got to tell you, it's amazing. I think it's as good as mine. What do you think, John?
I don't know. I'd have to ask a couple other people that make it, too, because he usually says that to everybody. Hey, this is about as good as mine.
That's an old joke with Tim Sobey. Tell us about your jerky.
You know, it's just time. You know, you take the right amount of time curing it, and you give it the right amount of smoke, and
it turns into a good
missing the mark.
Yeah, what are you making it with?
Yeah, meat, man.
What?
All kinds of meat. So this here, it just depends. It comes out of our ribeyes a lot of times.
Prime rib, right. Jerky.
Yeah, so it's the trimmings from the ribeye as you trim them up to put them in the case. Sure.
I mean, but that isn't all our jerkies are. I mean, we do cut some jerky out of flank steaks and different things, you know. But like, you know, some of the really good stuff, when we season it prime rib style and do the prime rib jerky, you know, we're getting steak trimmings and everything else out of that.
And you're about $4 a pound too cheap.
Yeah, but that's good
to
know.
Well, let's keep selling it.
Right.
This is, look at the price.
I didn't see it.
It's way cheaper than anybody's regular jerky.
Right.
I'm telling you, this sitting on a explosive
so,
product.
So as you go through the holiday season, are you taking orders for custom stuff for the holidays?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a prime rib sell every year, and we like to move the prime rib roast, you know. We do special ordering on that. You call us, you tell us exactly how much you want for your family. And if you want us to season it for you, we'll take care of you. We'll make it set. So all you have to do is take it home, throw it in the oven. You're ready to go.
So what do you recommend on a per person basis? If somebody says, you know, I got 8 people coming over, I don't know how much to get. How do you,
you know, that's probably the question we get like the most.
Right.
That and how long do I cook it for? Well, buy a meat probe and you'll figure it out.
Right.
But so we figure 4 to 5 ounces a person is a good amount of meat because you know you're not just eating meat.
Right.
You know, but you know your family too. Your uncle so-and-so is probably going to eat a pound of it. So make sure you account for that uncle, right?
Right.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So you season it. What kind of profile do you use on the seasoning? If I wanted my prime rib seasoned, what can I expect on it? Is it just salt and pepper, or you got?
So we do like a garlic pepper, which is got some spices in it as well as your garlics and your pepper and that kind of thing. And then we also do like a black forest seasoning, which is a pretty standard seasoning. And then we do like a mix. We do a meat shack rub where we take some of that black forest and that garlic pepper and we put it together. And that's probably our most popular. It just really gives it a good color, but also just a great flavor.
Awesome.
Well, I the amount of meat per person is always at question, and my recommendation is always make more.
Right.
Buy more, make more, because if you're any good at making it and it turns out really good, the last thing you want is for somebody to be a little late or to be in the bathroom when it's getting carved up and to come back to find that they're getting nothing.
Well, and the other thing is leftovers are not wrong.
Right.
I mean,
but you know, in the case of prime rib, that's one where the leftovers don't do it justice ever. It's never as good as, and that's one of the few things.
Than the fresh cut. You're right.
In my
opinion. You're exactly right. I agree with you.
Few things. That and baked Alaska, maybe.
Yeah. Baked Alaska, huh?
Those mine.
They might be. I don't know.
So I'm doing, I'm feeding a factory on Thursday for our good buddy at Perforated Tube.
Okay.
Dave Duzma.
Little holiday dinner?
Duzma.
What are you serving?
I got a bunch of big old hosses working in this place, so I'm not going to do a quarter pound per person.
Yeah.
Know your audience.
Can you hang around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All All right, coming up next, we're going to continue our conversation with Caleb from the Meat Shack and M57 in Greenville. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy holidays to you and yours. If you're still doing some shopping, there's some great last-minute deals out there at the meat market next to you, because they've got all kind of packaged smoked meats, cured meats, and guess what? Those make awesome, awesome stocking stuffers. So we're lucky enough to have one of those guys in the studio with us right now, a gentleman by the name of Caleb Robbins. He owns the Meat Shack on M57 in Greenville, if you're in Montcalm County. He should be your local meat man.
And far be it from me to correct Randy, but he meant to say Merry Christmas.
What did I say? Oh, Happy Holidays?
Yeah.
Oh, well, all right.
Sound like a Hallmark commercial.
Right. Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm desensitized.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to bring you back. Greenville, cool town, cool story. When I was a kid up north, my buddy's brother-in-law was an airplane mechanic, and he had to work on a DC-3 at that airport. That was the first time I ever went to Greenville. I'm like, oh,
that's cool.
Got to taxi a DC-3.
Yeah, there you go. Good. So, yeah. So Caleb, top three things that blow off the shelves in your meat market when somebody comes in, and if you got a signature item, you got something that you do sides, sauces, cheeses. Tell me about it.
So, as far as our products, you know, we sell a lot of meat sticks and jerkies that I brought you guys some here to try, and a good assortment. We sell a lot of brats. That, more than anything, probably keeps us in business.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
During the summer, when things are really booming, we probably have 45 or so different varieties of brats.
Really?
And like I said, it's not a big building, so we really have to move product in order to pull that off.
So if you could say, you know, this is the brat that sells most in my shop, what would that be? What comes to mind?
So we like to do as much community as we can. Well, by community, I mean we want to partner with people. And we do a Flat River beer brat that is just the best.
I thought he was going to say Calvinator.
Right, yeah. But Flat River.
Flat River Brewing Company there on the truck route. Yep.
Right, yeah. Very cool.
Where is that?
Right on the truck route. Right on the old truck route.
Oh, really?
In Greenville there. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So that's awesome. Then, so you got chickens. Do you sell like the I call them the fringe meats, like lamb and things like that? Are you carrying any of that or just not so much?
So we're service oriented. So when somebody calls and asks for something, if at all practical, we try to help people out. So we have got lamb in before. In fact, I ordered a whole lamb for a gentleman one time. You know, so if we can get it and it's going to make my customer happy, we're going to definitely do our best to do that.
Yeah.
It's not always practical. We can't always pull it off for people.
Well, you got storage things to deal with, too.
Exactly. You only have so much room, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I can't sit on a bunch of product if you don't want it. So.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that's the beauty of what you got going on there, because if somebody comes in and asks for it, given enough time, you'll do everything you can to get it.
Oh, yeah.
And you aren't going to get that at a big box store. It's here's what's in my case, take it or leave it. And I think that's one of the true benefits of working with your local butcher, is that, you know, Bob and I cook a lot of meat. You know, that's what this kind of, our kind of thing is all about. There's sides. We touch on those one every 10 times we talk about cooking meat. And we have to have a butcher, because some of the stuff that we want to do, I'm going to go down a little side road here, but there's a thing called a pig wing, which is the shank between the elbow and the hoof on the front of a hog. And I wanted to try to find them. Well, I couldn't, and it's a specialty item, because there's a lot of cutting that has to go on that front shoulder before you get to that. But before we met you, Sobey, I went over and talked to Tim Sobey, and he walked me through it, and he's like, I can get them for you, but you're not going to want to pay for them when I get them, because I got to buy so much other stuff that is specialty stuff, and that other than the shoulder of that hog. He said, you might be better off just trying to find them online or something, have somebody ship them to you. But so then I do that, and all I can find is already cooked, and I wanted them raw. So I think that's a benefit of a butcher as well, is you walk people through. Is I got this crazy idea, and it's like, well, I can do that, but you're going to end up paying $30 a pound what you can get $1.50 a pound, and it's a lot better up on the shoulder of the hog than it is down on the leg.
And I can tell you that you also could check, no matter where you're at, is with processors. Like out by me, it's Jones's Meats.
Yep.
Up by Caleb, there's a fellow there called Sage, and okay. He was an old friend of mine. He processes a lot of animals.
Right.
He probably got a butcher count or two, but for the most part, you're going there to pick up your hog or your cow.
Right.
And he's done several hogs for me, and a guy like that could get you anything like that in a heartbeat.
Right. Yep. So there again. But the average person, like me, isn't going to go to a processor and think about that. We're going to Caleb's Market, mm-hmm. and that's what I want to say is people come in and they ask for stuff, but I think that's part of what a butcher does is say, yep, I can do it, but you really don't want to do it, and here's why. And I'm like, okay, I get it. And, you know, it was a novelty thing. I saw something come
through. So what was the takeaway after a five-minute discussion about a pig wing?
My takeaway
was it good?
Well, no. I didn't eat it. I didn't buy it. Because he discouraged me because he said, I can't get it for you. You go online, and all I could find online was cooked, and I want to cook it, right?
We get absolutely. We get a lot of that. You know, the cooking channel is amazing, but right. It also creates some challenges for a guy.
I can get you ostrich.
Yeah. Right,
yeah, right,
you may not like the price.
Actually, they're grown right south of you.
Really?
Yeah, there's an ostrich farm. Guy I know does side rooms or sun rooms and stuff. They grow ostriches, and he makes jerky out of it that's amazing.
I'll bet it's great.
It's crazy. Sidebar.
Tastes like chicken?
No, it's really weird. The texture is like something I got in a Chinese restaurant once. I didn't know what it was. Yeah.
Oh, that's
that
so
one
good.
In Lowell that they shut down about 8 times. Yeah. So speaking of sides, we're going to do some cool sides in the next segment. So don't give up on us. We're actually going to hit some substance on something you can use for Christmas.
Right. Yeah.
So what is a big Christmas meat in your shop, Caleb?
Oh, Our prime ribs, we sell a ton of that, you know.
How much a pound is that going to be this year?
You know, right now, I was able to pre-order early to get, you know, some product in, and I was actually, by ordering it early and then having it shipped at a later date, I'm right there where I was last year at $12.99 a pound, you know. But when you buy that from me, you're getting the service that comes with it, you know. It's not just pre-cut stuff that's netted and thrown in a case that you just mm-hmm. go try to pick through and get
right.
what you need, you know.
So do you take the bone off if they want and truss it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, presentation is key, and a lot of people want those bones on there, but you don't want to fight around them and stuff, try to cut them off yourself. So we'll take care of you. We'll cut them off.
I'll cut them off myself, or I'll have you do it, and then I'll cut the ribs up into individual ribs and smoke those alongside the roast because it's just a treat.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so much better if they're on their own. You manage to caramelize that fat and reduce a bunch of fat, and then your roast gets evenly seasoned and barked.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife does
meat candy.
And I don't do them on the smoker. My wife does the prime rib in our house because that's her thing. And she uses the recipe we have on our website. It's, what's that restaurant? Went out of
Dubas.
Business. Yeah, it's the Dubas restaurant.
Right.
The Dubas recipe, I mean. And it's fantastic.
So quick technical question on that. There's a couple ways to do this when you're roasting it. But do you like run it at 500, isn't that the reverse sear that they call it? And run it like 500 degrees for the first 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then slow it down and bring it to temperature so you get that bark on the outside from the get-go.
If you're using an oven, yeah.
Right. And like you said, your wife uses the oven. And to me, that's my favorite way to do it. It's not the right or the wrong way, but it's my favorite way to do it because you get that you're not trying to get smoke in the oven. You're trying to get texture and doneness.
Right.
Right.
And so, with this Duba's recipe, it's got flour in it and stuff anyway, so I'm thinking if you tried smoking it, you'd just have smoky crust.
Gummy mess.
It's not going to penetrate the meat.
Right. Yep. So this way it gets it crisp on the outside, ratchet your oven down, and then bring it up to your 130 internal temperature and let it rest for, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes on a board, and then you start slicing it for the family. That's where those bones off are benefit.
Make sure you know who's eating and what they want it done to, because you're going to probe the center of it, and then you're going to rest it. It's going to keep cooking.
Right.
But, Caleb, I know it's Saturday morning, and you got...
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all of you. Get out and buy the grill or something from the Grilling Guys website. Lots of links there. Stick with us. We'll be back. Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, having a little bit of fun. It's always good when somebody brings meat into the studio. Caleb, thanks for doing that. You know what we haven't touched on yet is where are you located? Give us an address, give us a website, all your phone number, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. So we're 1217 West Washington Street, right there, just right
just
on
east
the same,
of Meyer.
Yeah.
Right.
We're right there. Big Brother's right over our shoulders.
Mr. Muffler or something right next to you
it's
there.
A Pennzoil.
A Pennzoil, right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Greenville, Michigan.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That Washington is M57, right? If you're coming off, coming north out of Grand Rapids, you hit the M57, go straight to the east, and you'll find them.
And I'll tell you, you're sitting out in that parking lot kind of by yourself, so your visibility, it's not hard to find. If you've got meat on your mind...
Yeah.
And who doesn't?
Look for the homemade sausage sign in the window. It's glowing. It'll light your way. So.
All right, man.
Light your way. From a pastor, no less. Hey, creamed corn, dude. This recipe is very much like one I've been using, but I liked it for a couple of reasons. But basically, it's going to be a couple packs of frozen corn. Because you can't get fresh
whole
right
kernel,
now,
right?
Whole kernel, and you thaw it. Heavy whipping cream makes everything good.
You know, that's the time of year we use a lot of that around my house, and the rest of the year we kind of don't.
All year long we use it. some white sugar, and a little bit of salt and pepper, and then butter, which adds richness and flavor, of course, and then milk, flour. Parmesan cheese. Now, I'm going to go with grating some a real block of Parmesan, not the stuff in a can. But you cook the corn, cream, sugar, all this together. And I think use a big saucepan or pot. You whisk the flour and milk together, and then you add that after the corn is cooked, and you stir in the cheese, and you shut it off. You coast into the finish line. And I'm telling you, make a bunch of it. Make a bunch of it.
Right.
We're going to post this on our website, but if you've never made anything like this before, or maybe if you've never eaten it before, at first you're going to look at it and you're going to see corn with this white sauce, and you're going to go, wow, what kind of a crazy thing is that? Oh, my gosh. It's because cream and sugar.
Right. Right.
It's like corn pops that didn't pop.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have them.
Oh, right. So good. And it's Christmas. It's your most special, one of your most special meals of the year.
Right.
So you want to, you know, if you're going to go get a nice rib roast or ham or something, and you're going to make a big deal, get the best silver out, the china, all that, which is right. the deal on Christmas and Easter, right?
Right.
You want some sides that are good.
Right.
You don't want to get stuck with the sweet potatoes with a marshmallow on top.
Right. Right. Exactly. Those do happen, though, because I've got people at our house that's like their favorite dish. And, you know, that's the other thing about the, I mean, we can't forget the reason for the season, right? But the way we celebrate is where family traditions are made and where they're kept. And so I remember my mom and dad are passed away, but when my mom used to make these meals, there was something for every person that was going to show up if you knew it was their favorite. And she knew. She just kept that information, right? And there were a ridiculous amount of food and a ridiculous variety of foods, but it was always because I want to have whatever it is that person likes the most that's there. I mean, and it's simple stuff like the sweet potatoes with them. I remember that mine was macaroni and cheese.
That's so weird.
There was, I know. And a lot of people say that. But that was my favorite dish for the holidays, and it was made with this Cracker Barrel cheese.
Oh, that's
a
right.
block of it. And it's then there was a, she'd take the crackers.
But she made it because it was your favorite.
Right, right. And that's just it.
He's
and,
the baby and, of the family.
And my sister-in-law has the recipe.
That explains it.
And she's got it perfected. And every time I have dinner at her home, she makes it for me. And that doesn't always have to be at the holidays. But if I'm at her home, she makes this for me. And the kicker is, you're talking about butter and cream. The kicker is they melt a stick of butter and take Ritz crackers and crumble them up and mix the butter in the Ritz, and it's a crumb crust.
That's never bad.
On top of the macaroni and cheese. It's amazing.
Nice.
But, I mean, my mouth's watering just telling you about it. But
that's
what
nice.
This is about, the
yes,
sides, right?
That's right. So how many kids do you have?
We got three.
Three. And what desserts do they like? Does the wife make pies?
No. I mean,
you don't do pies for Christmas? Because that's very often a very, I don't know.
So like I love pumpkin pie.
Uh-huh.
So she will attempt to make pumpkin pie for me. You
okay. So she's not big on the baking. That's your job?
She likes to bake. She just doesn't bake a lot of pies.
Okay.
You know, it's muffins and cookies. Because
that's a trick.
And, yeah.
You know, everything that different that
yeah.
you bake is a trick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And pies, I think there's a technique that Traverse City Pie Company, $25 a pie. There must be
nice.
A trick to that.
Trick is they lure you in with the name Traverse City Pie Company.
Yeah,
is what they do.
And you can go to Arnie's Bakery like Jop did and get those beautiful pies for
$8
a piece.
Yeah.
And they were really good.
I bought, thank you
for that.
Yeah, I bought 3 dozen of those and gave them to my clients and prospective clients.
I stole one out of his car.
Yeah, right.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Somebody went without one because Bob got one, right?
So, yeah. Anyway.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. So the kids are big on dessert. Is there something they're expecting for Christmas?
They
for
were
dessert?
For dessert, you know, I don't really know if that's
not fanatical.
Yeah, you know.
So there's a question we missed it. What are you cooking for for Christmas? What you got meat galore? What's going to be at the center of your table?
Oh man, probably.
Or is it vegetarian at your house?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Nothing but fruits and vegetables. No,
you don't get a stature like that by being a vegetarian. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
he's flirting with you now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
My cardiologist is going to love me later in life.
Right,
I realize.
Right, yeah.
No, probably we're going to go with a prime rib, I believe, you know, okay. just do it real traditional. And
now, do people have to order those?
You know, to make sure you get it, yeah,
right.
absolutely. You
right.
know, they can call the store.
What's that number?
Or yeah, it's 616-754-6000.
754 is a dead giveaway. That's Greenville, baby.
6,000. That's how many prime ribs he's going to sell this season.
Here's
well,
open.
So if you've never done a prime rib, maybe Caleb and his wife will walk you through it, or you can hit our website for explicit directions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you've never done one, you need to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody should try it at least every year.
Yeah. And here's the fun part for the dad, if you're traditional, carving that baby up. I love carving the prime rib. My wife gives me the honors every year.
Awesome.
And the turkey, too. Matter of fact, everywhere I go, people say, hey, you want to carve this turkey up? It's like, sure.
Some
funny stories always behind
those
things.
I've got Mike and Sue Barnes are new friends from my church. We joined a small group with them. and I promised I wouldn't do this, but I'm doing it because I know he's going to listen. So, Mike, wonderful hosted party we had last Tuesday night to celebrate the reason for the season with a few couples from our church. But he made 3 beer can chickens on his grill.
Nice.
And he was nervous because I was coming over. They turned out wonderful. But anytime the grilling guys get invited someplace, everybody's worried about what's going to come off the grill and it's not going to meet my standard. I don't have standards, right? We help people learn how to grill. But what I do have standards on that I didn't say, have a sharp knife if you ask If you ask me to carve something, it was a big chef's knife that was like a glorified butter knife. I'm sawing on chicken skin to get it to cut. And so,
and then when they give you the sharpener, it's one of those rat tail things that doesn't sharpen anything.
I didn't take it
out to the curb just run it across.
It was my first time in his home and I wanted to be polite and I worked with it. But I'm just saying, if you need a Christmas gift for somebody that likes to cook in your house, get them a good knife sharpener and instructions on how and instructions on how to use it.
Get the diamond coated Wusthof.
You could. I was pushing that knife through meat, and it was, you know, breaking off the bone rather than cutting off the bone. As a little ragtag when I put it on the plate,
ran off the plate,
and they all ate it. Right. I mean, so that's the moral of the story. But at the end of the day, if I have any pet peeves, it's a dull knife, and those are the ones that cut you. The sharp ones never cut.
Oh, for sure.
Right, because the sharp one will do what you ask it to do when you ask it to do it.
Well.
Know? So anyway.
There's exceptions to those rules.
But I understand. Mistakes happen. But as a butcher, you're using sharp knives all day.
I can tell you, my mandolin's really sharp, and it'll cut me.
Well, yeah, right. That's why they give you a little puck when you're sliding stuff through it. You don't hold onto it with your hand.
Puck schmuck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those are just fingertips. No way. They'll eat all right.
Look at that.
Right, But anyway, so, so I would imagine that you keep sharp knives in the meat market as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, one more time. We're wrapping up the show. Where are you at? Give people the address, website, or phone number for your business.
Yeah, so just, you know, get into Greenville on 57 there, drive to Meyer, and then go just past it.
Okay.
We're right there, okay?
Yeah.
Right. Now, get us on Facebook. It's Meat Shack on 57. We try to post their deals and what's going on and keep people up to date.
Great.
That's a great price for prime rib. I would order one.
All right.
I really would.
Caleb, thanks for joining
us.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks for sticking
Merry
in.
Christmas.
We appreciate you coming in. All of you, have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll talk with you one more time before the day.
Yes. So, by all means, Merry Christmas, and we'll probably talk at you Christmas Eve.
All right.